The Dead Pair Podcast is brought to you by the Elite Experience, Elite Shotguns, and is fueled by Fiocchi.
Paul?
Welcome to the Dead Pair Podcast, coming in hot with everything you want to hear about sporting clays.
Guy Fieri.
How are you, gentlemen? Thanks for having me.
Anthony Matarese Jr., how you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty well.
Welcome back, David Radulovich.
That's a net positive.
Brad Kidd.
Corey Cruz. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Now I feel awkward.
With your hosts, Jason Rambo.
One more Red Bull for you.
And Sean Alley.
Woo, yeah!
Christmas.
Let's do it.
Often imitated but never duplicated. It's the Dead Pair Podcast.
The Dead Pair.
And now, it's showtime.
What's up, Mr. Large and in Charge, my large mammal friend?
We are back in here ready to lay the smackdown. More Sporting Clays talk.
We are. Hey, before we get to our guest tonight, we got a lot to discuss here real quick. We've got a tourney talk we got to get to, like, right now.
It's Tourney Talk. Brought to you by Score Chaser.
All right. The Connecticut Sporting Clays Championship State Shoot is now open at Fairfield County Fish and Game, August 26th through the 27th. The 2024 RC Cup at South Florida Shooting Club is open February 1st through the 4th. Again, 2024. It is now open, so get in there. And a reminder, the 2024 Caribbean Classic at Vero Beach, February 5th through the 12th, 2024 is open. Also, we were informed that the fee task at Jack Links will now be the new style fee task, and that is what we have right now for Score Chaser.
Yep, and don't forget the Dead Pair Blast, December 1st and 2nd.
Heck yeah, I can't wait.
If you're interested in sponsoring that, let us know. Of course, we're still working on some cool details. Hopefully, that'll come out here soon. You know, we've never done this before, Sean, but you and I talked about it, and we decided we wanted to share this letter with everybody.
Yes.
From one of the listeners. We get a lot of these letters on a daily basis.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know why. I just thought this one was really cool to share with everybody. It says here, hey, Dead Pair team. Just wanted to reach out and give you all kudos for the job well done. I've been shooting recreationally for 3 to 4 years now, with weekly league nights and the occasional charity shoot. However, I was always too intimidated to shoot a registered tournament. This is why this letter is important. That was until I heard your podcast near the end of last year. You guys convinced me to take the plunge, and now I'm hook, line, and sinker. Also, shout out to your sponsors. I have heard you guys say it hundreds of times. Whether or not you were sponsored by them, you'd still use their products. From the Rhino Chokes to the Odo Pros to the Bear Pelt Vest, all great products with fantastic people selling and representing their products. In conclusion, I just wanted to say how much I appreciate you, what you guys are doing for the sport. Had it not been for the Dead Pair logo I saw on a vest, I wouldn't have been having nearly the amount of fun that I am having. Y'all keep up the great work. Listen, first of all, Sean and I, you know, we love this stuff. This is what keeps us going.
Yeah, super cool letter. Super cool letter.
But it's the fact that he took the plunge and he's a tournament shooter now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was injured. He found us by a logo on a vest, which I think is cool. And, you know, and we wrote him back. It's like, man, this is so awesome. You know, appreciate this and we're glad you're loving it. Introduce your buddy to this.
Yeah, well, and Jason, think not too far long back, it was the same situation with us. We were a little intimidated to even think about shooting registered targets, thinking, hey, we're not good enough for that. But, you know, it's not about that.
Right.
It's getting into it and enjoying the competition, and that's what makes it fun, having something to chase. And, yes. And of course, we're still, you know, goo-goo gaga over it. So.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, what a cool story. And that's all it was. This isn't for, trust me, we're not in any way, shape, or form bragging. It's just, we wanted to share this with everybody. You know, there's so many of these people out there. And this is why we tell everybody at the end of the show every week is take someone new shooting, you know, take them to a tournament.
Right.
This guy right here, if he'd had somebody that would have grabbed him by the hand, come on, you know, let's go try this.
Yep.
Probably would have happened a little sooner.
Yeah.
You know, so, but thankfully we were able to talk him into it, right?
Right. Well, I'm just saying that, and that's a good point, Jason, because if you're out there shooting already, then there's no excuse for you not to bring a buddy along or try to convince your buddies to get into to shooting. And then if you want to take a step further, think about doing, you know, registered targets.
Right. You're shooting pretty well.
I am. I finally am kind of getting a good fit and feel with the Kohler, and have been doing very well the last three tournaments.
Yeah, so. You go and get you some of them Masterclass punches.
Yeah,
you go and get you some.
It
of
won't
that.
Take too long to get back up there, but you know what? I'm enjoying the ride, enjoying having something to chase again, and enjoying feeling like I'm competitive again. So.
Right. You know, we talked, and I don't want to drag this out. We need to get to our guest, Caitlin. We talked about this a little bit when we had Derek and Chad in studio. And it's one of those things, you know, we presented ideas and everything else. I forgot to tell you, Sean, our beloved Robert Crow from White Flyer.
Mm-hmm.
And Robert, I'm sorry, buddy, if I'm saying this and I'm not supposed to be telling everybody. But he had the greatest idea to me.
What's that?
To help fix the Masterclass thing. And I want everybody to think about this, okay? He had this thing. He said, look, whatever you want to do with your punches, fine. You know, you get all your punches. But in order to advance, you have to have a certain amount of win points. This was his idea. And I said, okay, explain this to me. He goes, think about how many punches you've got from seconds and third places and stuff. You go to a big shoot and you might get sixth place and still get a bunch of punches, right?
Right.
If there's, you know, like the Nationals or whatever. He goes, in order to advance, you have to have so many win points. Like you won, what was it, 2 weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
Double A?
Yep.
Okay, so you get a win point for that. So at the end, here you come down, you've got all your 20 punches to go from Double A to Masters, but you've only got two win points and you might need four or five to advance.
Sure.
I think that's good because it's going to keep the guy that, you know, hey, I advanced by getting a bunch of second and third place, you know, finishes, and I really shouldn't be here because I can't win in this class, you know, and it keeps him from going to Masters too early. I kind of like that idea.
I like that idea. I think there's probably a way you can incorporate that to some degree.
I think so, too. That's a good
but
idea.
But, you know, the big thing we struggle with all the time, Jason, is like, you know, again, like we've said many times, you win in your class when there's 50 people in it versus winning your class when there's five people in it.
Right.
Does that carry the same weight? Because obviously not.
See, that's where, you know, the guys that go, they I don't want to call it cherry picking. It's not intentional, but sometimes they can only get to a tournament where there's only 10 people in a class.
Sure, and I don't want to discourage anybody from that because that's not what the whole point of it is. It's just we just got to figure out some way to balance between AA and Masterclass and then the guys that are always at the top of their game that you see at the big shoots and the Nationals and the Regionals.
So. Right. Well, hey, listen, our guest is also an Elite Shotgun shooter. So thank you to Elite Shotguns. Fiocchi USA, of course, Bear Pelt, love us some Bear Pelt.
Mm-hmm.
American Made Atlas Traps, RE Ranger, Randolph Engineering, Odo Pro Technologies, Rhino Chokes, Vero Beach Clay Shooting, White Flyer Targets, Don Grant, and of course, Score Chaser. Sean Ellie, are you going to say anything?
I'm just waiting to get on the phone with Caitlin.
Let's do it right now.
Do it, man. Okay, everyone, joining us on the phone right now is Caitlin Koenig. Caitlin, how you doing this evening?
I'm doing awesome. How are you guys doing?
I'm just as peachy as can be.
Good to hear.
So, Caitlin, listen, for the people that don't know who you are, tell us all about Caitlin. Where are you from? How'd you get started in this crazy game, breaking clay targets? Tell us a little bit about you.
Yeah, of course. So I'm 21 years old. I'm originally from Phoenix, Arizona, but decided to come out to Florida for college. I actually just graduated from Jacksonville University with my master's in business. So now I'm living full-time in Jacksonville, Florida. How did I start shooting? I actually started shooting competitively when I was 15 years old. So been about 7 years now. You know, I grew up hunting and fishing with my dad. So I've always been familiar with guns, but never really got serious with it until I was in high school. I feel like most kids, I tried just about everything, whether it was basketball, volleyball. I played the piano for a little while. I even played the saxophone. I was always somewhat good at most things that I tried, but nothing really ever stuck. So when I was in high school, I was out at Ben Avery Gun Club right in Phoenix with my dad and his buddies. We were just having a good time, you know, yada, yada. And this man approached my dad and he came up, he goes, hey, is that your daughter? So, you know, my dad being the typical dad, he's like, yeah, it's my daughter. What do you want? And he goes, you know, your daughter has a lot of potential just from watching her the past few minutes. Let me work with her and see what I can do. So from there, I was like, you know, I'll try it. Maybe I'll get really good. I'll be able to beat my dad. And I picked it up and I started getting really good really fast. And I absolutely loved it. So I've been hooked just since that day.
Wow, that's awesome. So, Yeah, so basically it took somebody else to kind of recognize that you had some talent, and then that's how it all got started for you. That's neat.
Exactly. Yeah, it was just a fun thing for my dad and I to do, and someone saw something in me, and I just ran with it.
That's cool. That's a very cool story.
So did you?
Thank you.
So did you chase SCTP then, I take it?
Yes, I did. So this man, his name's Gary McCraw, right from Phoenix, Arizona, and he suggested get involved in SCTP. So join the Clay Crushers team at Ben Avery. And then I also joined the Phantom Sure Shots a couple years later, and it really got me involved. I met people. I got just familiar with the program altogether, and it was awesome.
Cool. So Caitlin, so you're now residing in Florida, right? So what is your home club in Florida?
So, well, I always still want to consider Ben Avery my home club because that's where I started and I love it out there. But now that I live in Florida, Jacksonville Clay Target Sports is where I primarily shoot out of.
Okay, gotcha. And let's talk a little bit about, I mean, being as young as you are, you do have some major accomplishments. Can you tell us a little bit about the ones that you're most proud of?
Yeah, of course. As I'm sure you guys know, I spent quite a bit of time on the skeet field. Mm-hmm. So my first major accomplishment was when I won the 28-gauge Junior World Championship in 2018. I'd only been shooting for a couple years at that point, and I felt like I was on top of the moon. And then the next year, followed it up with the 20-gauge Junior World Championship. From there, of course, you have minor winnings that are still exciting, but definitely World Championship first few years of shooting was super exciting for me.
That's awesome. You mentioned that this gentleman coached you along, but who was or who still is your coach that helped you develop all your skills?
So like I said, Gary McCraw and Ben Avery started me out and really taught me just the basics of shooting. And then from there, Coach Larry Blount down in Tucson coached me for skeet and really took me to the next level as a skeet shooter. But since recently, I've really been wanting to get back into sporting clays. I haven't had a full-time coach. I've had a few mentors here and there, one of which being a good friend, Aaron Islanian from Phoenix as well. And then most recently, I look up to Nick Berry a lot for guidance, but like I had said, no one really is a full-time coach recently.
Gotcha. So thinking back, Caitlin, as you got started in this sport, I know it takes a while to kind of develop your game. First off, let me ask you this. Out of all the disciplines that you shoot skeet, you shoot sporting. Do you do FITASC or AFS or any of that kind of stuff as well?
So I've shot AFS at one tournament last year. I can't remember where I was, but it was super fun, which really sparked an interest in FITASC for me. So although I haven't gotten into FITASC, it's definitely something that I want to do soon. Because everyone seems like they really enjoy it. And it seems like that extra little activity that everyone loves.
Mm-hmm. What about trap? Any trap in your game or no?
The only trap tournaments that I have shot are ones that I have to, whether it was for SCTP or for collegiate tournaments.
Gotcha.
So I don't want to dog on trap, but it's not my favorite, but it's one of those that I've just had to shoot over the years.
And no, that's a totally great answer. I mean, everybody has their preferences. I mean, we've had Ricky Marshall on here, and you know, the guys that excel at trap, the people that excel at trap, I should say, you know, they're wired a little bit differently, I think, than a lot of us that shoot sporting or FITASC. So
a little bit. They're wired totally backwards.
Hey. We're trying to be PC here. Come on. Ricky's going to be back in here for too long.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of great people shoot trap. It's just not for me.
Yeah, that's the way I feel about it.
Yeah, I don't think I've got the patience or the, you know, just the focus for that long. That's the big thing.
Neither do I.
Yeah.
I do not.
Well, I mean, Chad had us training on some trap stuff here a couple years ago. Just, you know, he had like a grid thing he was having us do between trap and skeet. And after the first four or five shots, I looked at Sean, I'm like, can they throw a rabbit out here or something? Or, you know, so, but.
Well, Caitlin, again, as coming up, you know, and learning all this stuff, can you think back and possibly put your finger on like a bad habit or a major change in your game that your coach made you do or something that you realized that kind of clicked you into the next gear, so to speak?
Most definitely, yes. So I actually have a couple that I think are worth mentioning. Is that okay if I name a couple?
Oh, yeah,
of them?
As many as you want.
So one of them is a little different, but I actually started out as a left-handed shooter, which I know sounds kind of crazy. So I'm right-handed in everything that I do, but I thought that I was left-eye dominant. So naturally, it was just easier for me to shoot left-handed and have it lined up with my left eye. Mm-hmm. And then I've since discovered that I'm actually centrally ocular. But besides the fact, my first coach immediately made me change to right-handed. He said, my instincts will be faster, my reactions will be faster because I'm right-handed in everything I do. So it was definitely the right choice. But I always think back at old pictures, I'm like, wow, I was left-handed years ago.
Well, let me ask you this. Okay, with that center ocular, so have they had to set your gun up differently as far as fitment to try and get the rail over more towards your nose? I mean, explain how that went.
Well, that leads me into the second change that I made. So when I started shooting ski, getting really into it, my eyes were having a lot of issues where they would almost switch back and forth. I was shooting ski and I was super focused and I was just having a lot of problems with it. So my ski coach put a patch on the left side lens of my glasses and totally helped me out because it forced my right eye to take control. But after a long day of shooting, I would notice I was super fatigued. My eyes were tired. And ultimately, although it excelled my ski game, it made me struggle in every other discipline if I had a patch on my eye. But at the time, I was only shooting ski. So I was just super excited. I was like, well, this is working great. I'm doing good in ski. We'll keep doing it. So it leads me into when I got onto the college team, we had to shoot everything, being trap, skeet, sporting, everything you could think of. And I was shooting it all with a patch, getting super fatigued. My eyes would be tired. And so one day, I'm not even kidding you, I woke up and I said, that's it. I'm done with the patch. I literally took it off and I just never looked back. So
wow,
it was definitely very hard to adjust in the long run. It's what I needed to do. So now I shoot two eyes open, right-handed. And I want to say it works out pretty well for me, but there was a lot and a lot of trial and error with it.
So a lot of self-discipline then to get you to be able to focus on what you were doing as far as looking at the target goes.
Oh, definitely. Yes. Because I was so used to having the patch on my eyes that when I took the patch off, everything was very different. I don't know if y'all have ever tried it, but it's very different to look down the barrel and either have a patch or not have a patch. Changes the picture image entirely. So it's really hard for me, like, well, I'd rather go back to my comfort zone with the patch. I'd rather go back. And I just never did. I was like, well, we're just going to keep moving forward and hope it works out.
Yeah, I don't think I would like that. I can't imagine having something blocking my vision in one eye or the other. But
yeah, now that I took it off, I couldn't imagine going back to it at all.
Well, but if you had the dominance issue that she does.
Well, right, and I don't. So, I mean, I guess I'm lucky in that regard. But at the same time, it just seems like that would be a detriment to your vision because you use both eyes to get your depth perception and your periphery and all that stuff. So, yeah, I know there's a lot of guys that shoot with dots, you know, over their lenses and stuff. We know a few of them. And I just can't imagine trying to put that sight picture together, that target together.
Yeah, that'd be rough.
So
it's very, very hard.
So we know you're primarily a skeet shooter, but Sean and I witnessed you shooting, getting it done, shooting some sporting clays down at the U.S. Open last year. You were in front of us. I think it was on the prelim.
Mm-hmm.
You were the squad right in front of us. And I'm like, why is this girl messing with skeet? So tell us, are you kind of morphing into just primarily a sporting shooter now? I mean, I know you're all about it. So.
I actually started out as a sporting clay shooter. I know a lot of people associate my name with skeet, but I started as a sporting shooter for the first about year I was shooting. And then I really got pulled into the skeet world. Like I said, once I started shooting skeet, I started strictly shooting skeet for a couple of years, but then again, joined college, had to shoot everything. And then just recently I decided, you know, I want to venture back into sporting. I definitely see myself morphing into sporting a lot more now. I mean, I have had a lot of good times at ski shoots. The Blue Goose in Houston, the Elite Classic, they're just amazing shoots, super fun. But personally, overall as a sport, I just think sporting clays is a lot more fun, a lot more challenging. And I love a good challenge. And then also on that note, my mom travels to almost every shoot with me. Although she will 100% support whichever discipline I choose to shoot, I do know that deep down, she also just enjoys going to sporting clay shoots a lot more than skeet shoots.
Yeah.
She likes socializing with people. She likes talking to y'all, and she just enjoys not having to be silent 100% of the time like you do during a skeet tournament.
Yeah, so I was going to say,
both for myself and for my mom, we both have more fun at sporting clays.
Yeah, I was going to say skeet and trap are not social events.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Yeah, I was going to say, because
during a skeet shoot, she sits on the bench and she does not move. She does not say anything. She just sits there and smiles.
Okay, yeah, because I was going to mention, it's like, you know, me and Jason have never really spent much time at skeet or trap shoots, but I know that, you know, the thing about sporting and VTask is it's usually pretty social. You know, you mingle around, you talk, there's, you know, lots of stuff going on, and I don't know, do you just kind of notice that they're more reserved in skeet and trap overall, and it's more about getting it done, getting the business done, or what is it about it that's so much different?
So once you're done shooting skeet, people obviously definitely like to have a good time hanging out at the clubhouse, but 100% during the actual round of skeet, I'd say a lot of people take it, I don't want to say more seriously, but I don't really know the best way to describe it. They're a lot quieter and very down to business. And sporting clays, definitely you want to be down to business. You're there to do well. You're there to have a good time as well. But it's just a different dynamic. You can still joke around during a sporting clays round, but if you do that during skeet, it's almost looked down upon.
Well, we had a friend of ours that used to squad with us all the time. He came from the trap world. I'll never forget. He used to tell us, I just can't get used to this. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, man, we can talk and have a good time and enjoy ourselves. I'm like, yeah, that's what it's all about.
Why do you think we do it?
he's like, man.
Yeah, literally.
He's like, at the trap line, nobody says nothing. They even look at you funny if you cough. And I'm like, yeah, it's just, no. I'm sorry, I can't do that. So,
like I said, I've had a lot of fun at skeet shoots. And at sporting, you're there to do well and you're there to get it done. But at the end of the day, I still want to be having fun while I'm doing it.
Yeah. Caitlin, let me ask you this. We recently had Jonna on, and I asked her this question, and I think this is a good one for you too. Do you think that there is fair play in shooting sports for women? I mean, what's your thoughts? Do you think we're where we need to be, or do you see something that could need improving? I mean, what do you think?
Ooh, that's a good question. Honestly, I do think that there is a fair playing field for women in shooting sports. It's definitely a male-dominated sport. But I mean, you go to these big shoots and oftentimes you're still seeing the ladies' scores right up there with the men's scores. In my opinion, whether you're a man or you're a lady, as long as you're willing to put in the work, then I think it'll pay off. So in my opinion, yeah, I do think it's a fair playing field.
Well, that's well said. I mean, Sean and I have been big advocates of it for a while now. I think it's a matter of time. You know, Halen Hakes was knocking on the door last year. I mean, yeah, mm-hmm. She won the ladies' national championship, but she's wasn't that far off.
Yeah, what was it, 2 or 3 targets from Zach?
No, it might have been a couple more than that. But okay. Still, though, it was that close.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
I mean, if I was that close to the top, I'd be, wow, I can do this.
You'd be dancing around doing backflips.
I'd be doing all kind of crazy stuff. But anyway, but, you know, I think it's cool. Like, you know, they have the Ladies' Cup and everything in the circuit, nationals, regionals, all that kind of thing. And I think it's great that they're putting up, there's a lot of big shoots now that are putting up lady specific purses, you know, for the ladies concurrent.
I think it's great.
Yeah. I just kind of wanted to get your thoughts on it. You know, it's interesting to hear what everybody has to say for sure.
Well, let me ask you this, Caitlin. So, you know, I'm sure that you know, you don't have the crystal ball, you can't see down the road, but looking forward, what are some of your goals that you're trying to achieve in the next, you know, maybe few years? Is there any big plans to make any changes in what you're shooting? And then, you know, are you still pushing hard for the skeet? Or are you going to try to maybe split that up and do more sporting? Or what do you kind of see moving forward?
Within the next year or so, and even after that, I really want to establish myself within the sporting clays community. I've had my fun with skeet, so I don't want to say I'm ready to move on, but I'm ready to try something different and really jump into sporting clays. I want to learn. I want to better myself. And like I had mentioned before, I'm super interested in learning VTask. So that's definitely a goal of mine to at least start this year and then see where that takes me.
Okay. What about some of the bigger shoots? I mean, have you traveled around to most of the regionals and the big blasts, or is that still on your bucket list?
So earlier this year, I went to Southeast Regionals, went to the Jack Links. That was awesome. And then my mom and I also went out to Dubai for the Fujairah Mountain Sporting Clays Championship. And that was the experience of a lifetime. It was so amazing. So just absolutely phenomenal to go out. And that was my first international trip over there. And it was just an amazing experience. It was very cool to be immersed in the culture. Like I said, it's my first international shooting trip. And it was such an awesome experience. I would honestly suggest it to anybody. They're doing it again in 2025. I will 100% be there.
Awesome. So talk about the targets. We heard there were some pretty big targets out there.
The targets out in Dubai were definitely the most difficult targets I had ever seen in my entire life. I know a lot of people were saying that they were challenging, but I'm telling you right now, I had never even seen half these targets before.
Wow.
Ben Avery, they show a lot of different target presentations, but in Dubai, they were throwing stuff that I couldn't even imagine being thrown in the tournament. It was absolutely amazing. The terrain was so cool. You're either down in this little divot right by a pond, or you're up on this tall mountain. The targets are flying off the mountains. It was honestly just such an amazing experience to go.
Wow.
Wow.
Very cool.
Well, me and Jason are jealous. We can tell you that much.
Are you guys going to go in 2025?
Well, see, we used to have a bucket list we were working on, and it's now a barrel list. The bucket wouldn't hold it anymore. I mean,
yeah,
there's so many wonderful clubs here in the United States, and we've had an open invitation from literally hundreds of people. Just come on out, you know, shoot with us. And we really want to go, but it's like, this stuff costs money.
Yeah. So, yeah. There's regular life that gets in the way too. So.
Yeah. Right. Jobs and family and career, whatever. So it's just, what we want to go to a lot of these shoots. And if the cards line up and we can go in 2 years, yes, I would love to go. I mean, a little scared about traveling internationally with my gun. I've heard horror stories and all kinds of things, but I think it'd be worth it to take the trip for sure.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I totally understand this whole real life getting in the way, but hopefully y'all can make it happen.
Yeah, let me touch on that real quick, Caitlin. So you travel with your gun, obviously, when you went to Dubai. How did you find that experience versus traveling in the United States alone?
Well, I actually didn't have any issues with my gun. My suitcase with my clothing got lost on the way there. So I didn't have any clothes for the first 5 days, but my gun made it, and it was totally, totally easy peasy.
Wow.
It was definitely different than traveling in the United States. You get there, they have your bag flagged. They walk you over to customs. You open up the case. They look at all the serial numbers, that kind of thing. And then you close the case, and you don't see it until you get to the complex the next day.
Hmm. So they
do all the transportation. They keep it locked up and lots of security.
So do they give you a key fob like they used to in the olden days, or do you just give them your identification when you get there?
So they actually made identification cards for everybody. It had our passport photos on them. And you'd give them the card at the beginning of the day. They'd grab your case for you, and then you'd return the case and get your card back at the end of the day.
Very cool. Well, Caitlin, I know you listen to the podcast, and you know we do this thing called rapid fire.
Yes, I do.
I've grounded Sean the last couple of times because he screwed it up, but we're gonna unground him, let him give it a go here.
Okay.
He's just looking at me this look right now. You should see him.
Thanks, man.
If looks could kill, right? So
yeah.
Go ahead, Sean. Let's see if you can do it.
All right, Caitlin. So we're going to start off with the easy one. What kind of gun do you shoot?
I shoot a Kohler round action with gold select engraving.
That's my girl right there.
That's a pretty gun. What's your barrel length?
Thank you. Barrel length is 30 inches.
Okay. Do you port it or non-ported?
Non-ported.
Okay. And then what about your chokes? Screw in, adjustable, and?
They're Kohler factory screw in chokes.
Okay. And what's your go-to constriction for sporting clays?
IC light mod.
All right. How about your stock? Custom stock or factory?
Nope. Just factory stock.
Okay. How about your ammo? What's your favorite ammo and recipe?
Easy answer. B&P F2 Mach, 1 ounce, 1250 feet per second, 7.5s.
That's an awesome round.
That right is. That's a good load. That's for sure.
That's my favorite load.
How about your glasses?
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You're almost failing there. You didn't ask for 7.5s or 8s.
She answered it. She said 7.5s.
She did.
You're not listening, Mr. Okay, Mr. Well, Rambo.
I'm going to pass for you.
I'm going to get you on another one.
Luther.
No, you're the loser. I'm going to get you on another one. She is our second 30-inch barrel shooter ever on the show.
Okay, well, we already.
Really?
Yes. We already established that, but. Okay.
No, but she just admitted, you know what?
You just can't handle being wrong, Jason.
You'll shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
I'll call Jules right now, and I'm sure she can tell us the story. And you're interrupting my time, so shut up.
You'll shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
All right, so again, I'm sorry, Caitlin. Glasses. Let's go back to glasses, please.
Pila Outlaw X7s.
Sorry, it's like a couple of old married people in here.
Exactly what I was going to say.
There you go. You see what I got to deal with. All right, how about your ear protection?
Just custom molded earplugs.
Gotcha. And are you a vest or shell bag user?
Depends on the discipline. For skeet, I use a custom made Louis Vuitton pouch.
Nice.
But for sporting clays, I wear a custom made Castellani vest.
Okay. Now, here's a weird question we've been asking people here as of late, and you may or may not have this apply to you. Can you say if there's anything unique in your bag, in your shooting bag that you take with you? Like this could be a lucky rabbit's foot. It could be, we're not even going to go into some of the.
It definitely is.
Okay. Well, go for it then, dear.
So I am not a big candy person in my normal day-to-day life. However, you will always, always, never failed. You'll always be able to find some sort of gummy candy in my bag, whether it's gummy bears, sour gummy worms, something of that sort.
Oh, you're a because girl after my own heart.
Gives me that extra little push halfway through.
Heck yeah.
And then my mom, she always manages to weasel some sort of other snack like pistachios or beef jerky in there.
Uh-huh.
But I will always have some sort of candy in my bag.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Sour Patch Kids.
You just gained a large mammal friend.
Yeah, that's right. I might even share with you.
As long as it's not CBD gummies or anything, we're okay here.
No, come on.
Oh, definitely not. Just your basic gummy bears.
Well, I think I did all right, even if Jason wanted to bag on me a little bit.
We'll give him a pass this time.
I think he did awesome.
Thank you.
So I know for a fact you got some sponsors you'd like to thank, and one of them we share in common. So could you want to run down your list of people that have helped you out?
I would love to. First off, I'd like to thank my parents, my dad being the reason I even started shooting. And then my mom specifically has been my number one fan since day one. She plans the trips, travels everywhere with me, and I 100% would not be able to do it without her. But moving on from my parents, I'd also like to thank my sponsors, which would be Cola Shotguns, Elite Shotguns, B&P Ammo, and Ultimate Shooting Accessories. All of them have been absolutely amazing supporters and incredible teams that I am just so thankful to be a part of, because honestly, for all of them, it's not just a team. It really is built like a family. And then lastly, of course, I would like to thank Jason and Sean for having me on the Dead Pair today.
Oh, thank you.
Now that's a first.
That's a first.
Aww.
We appreciate that. Now, Caitlin, yeah. I know you're down there in Florida, so we hope we're going to see you December 1st and 2nd down at Vero for our Dead Pair blast shoot.
That would be awesome. I'll be there.
Yeah. Love to have you all come down. Pops drinks are on us. So, yep. Come on down, have a drink with us. And of course, after we're done shooting. So, but, no, it's going to be a good time, and look forward to see you down there for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I'll be there. Look forward to seeing you guys.
And are you doing Jack Links next year as well?
I already signed up.
Sweet. That's a great shoot, isn't it?
It was. And it was sold out within the first like 3 or 4 days.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
Now, the Caribbean's open now. You know that, right?
It is. Yes. I looked for the Caribbean when the Jack Links opened, and it wasn't open yet.
Yep.
But I will definitely be at the Caribbean as well.
Yep. It's open as of right now.
So we'll be there as well.
Yep. We'll be there.
Perfect.
Large and in. No, I don't know about in charge. We'll just be there.
Large and in charge.
Yeah. Large and in charge will be there.
Ah, there you go. Well, Caitlin, thank you very much for joining us tonight. We really appreciate your time. Appreciate your insights on everything for sure.
Thank you so much, you guys. I really appreciate having the opportunity to talk with you, and this has been fun.
All right. It was our pleasure. Thanks, around. Caitlin.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one. The Dead Pair.
All right, on the phone with us, one of our favorite coaches, Mr. John Woolley. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, guys. Thank you. Jason, Sean, you're doing good?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Always great to have you back on the show. We love talking to you, John. Hopefully life's been treating you good.
Yes, always a pleasure.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, we're doing good, our end.
Good deal. All right, John, well, I'm going to go ahead and get right to it. I've got a question from Jeremy W., and he writes, I tend to struggle with fast quartering away targets and often blow out in front of them or give them way too much lead. What things can I work on to improve my game and have better results with these types of targets?
Does he actually say if the bird comes from behind him a little bit or out in front?
He doesn't really say. It's kind of generic here. I'm guessing that with most of those quartering away targets, mostly I would say the trap's going to be in front of you. So maybe that's what he's struggling with. And I guess use your opinion, or if you want to give a couple different answers based on different scenarios, I'll let you do it. So have at it.
Well, if he's right-handed and right eye dominant, what tends to happen if the bird is back a little bit and they look out a little bit too far out in front of a left or right quartering away bird, the tendency is to pick it up with the left eye and move off too quick on it, in which case almost definitely he will miss left and low. Right and low. If it's from left to right, and it can be the same sort of thing from right to left, and usually exactly the same result. You miss right and low more often than not. But the real key to the whole thing is to see the bird a little bit longer and make sure your dominant eye has the bird with good focus, not clear focus, but good focus. Before you actually move, and that usually clears it up for all my pupils.
Okay. And what about, like, say, let me just extend on this a little bit more. What about if a bird is way out in front of you, like say the trap's 15, 20 yards in front of you and you've got more time? Are you ever worried about the bird beating the shot of the target, or is there any need to really hurry in that scenario?
No, the most common thing that I see people doing with that type of bird is, again, not taking the split second to see it in the beginning before they move. And they start moving because they feel like it's a fast bird and it's going to get away. Mm-hmm. And they start moving on the bird too quickly. Another issue can happen. I've seen quite a lot. If it's a low going away, the people will hold the gun down too low. And even if they move the right time, it takes them that little bit longer to get the gun barrel back up to the line of the bird, especially if they shoot high gun, and that can cause some issues with it too.
Okay.
Really with that type of question, we really need to know if it's more from behind him or in front, and exactly – you know, if it's left to right or right to left, and if he's right or left-handed, because it makes a big difference to how you attack the targets.
Okay. Hear that, guys? We need more details on these kind of questions. So John has spoken.
Yeah. John has spoken. Well, I got a question here from Tom S. Now, I'm going to guess this isn't Tom C, because it'd be a motocross question if it was. So, but Tom S. asks, your motto is see the bird. I am having trouble with my hold points because halfway back to the trap doesn't work. I guess he's talking about halfway back from the break point. He said, because, let me read this again. Your motto is see the bird. I'm having trouble with hold points because halfway back to the trap doesn't work. What do you recommend when seeing the bird for choosing a good hold point?
Well, actually, what dictates the hold point, the easy way, is when you see the bird the first time, if you're right-handed, the gun will tend to start a little bit further, closer to half than way than it will do on the right to left. I always say it's around two-thirds of the way back towards the trap on the right to left. And that's because for a right-handed shooter, you're looking across the gun, and that's why the predominant method for most people to shoot a right to left target is swing through or pull away, even if you're using the move, mount, shoot system. Whereas on a left to right target, the predominant way is pull away or maintain lead or mount to the gap, as I prefer to to say.
Okay.
And so it depends on that. So if they take their finger and point at the target when they're reading the target, the finger should be able to tell them where to get started in time with the bird. If as soon as they see the bird and they move their finger accordingly, as they would do when they're pointing, you know, like the gun.
Okay, that makes sense.
And then that also dictates the way you stand, because depending on where you're going to kill the bird is where you set your feet. So your finger tells you several things if you're pointing it the right way. Not looking at your finger, looking at the bird and feeling where your finger is.
Well, you know, John, that raises a personal question. Is, you know, Wendell once said on a podcast that if you could fire a shot at the end of your finger, you'd never miss. Your right. hand, when you're looking at the target, always tells the story. But like he said in the podcast, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I will 100% agree with that.
But like he said in that podcast, for whatever reason, as soon as we put a shotgun in your hands, you ignore that. So why is that? Why is it that our hand can subconsciously tell us where we need to be, but we don't seem to pay attention? Because I struggle with that personally. Like, I'll watch a show pair, and then I don't seem to have that same sight picture when I've got the gun mounted. What is the deal? What is the correlation there that everybody has a problem with?
Well, one, you're not trying to kill it, so you're allowing it to happen. The other one, you're trying to kill the bird, and so your brain gets involved. If you can keep yourself into your instinctive mode, where you just react to the target and kill it, your finger will always go there, the gun will always go there. How many times have you shot at a bird that you wasn't expecting to come from where it came from, and you reacted to it immediately and just went straight to it and killed it, yes. not knowing where the gun was, okay? And it's exactly the same in opposite. When you put the gun in your hand, now you know exactly where it is, now you know exactly where it's coming, so now the conscious mind is working on the shot instead of the unconscious mind. You know, I always use the analogy, you know, when you drive a stick shift car the first time, it didn't go very far, did it? And, you know, and then now if you jump in a stick shift car, you do all of that, you change gear, look where you're going, lift the clutch up, put the accelerator down, and obviously steer where you're going. And now you could do all of that without thought, get on the phone, drink a cup of coffee, steer with your knee if you have to, and because you can do so many more things without thought.
Gotcha.
And that's why it works. In simple terms, that's why it works. It
makes perfect sense.
Yeah, overthinking, overanalyzing, all that good stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Great.
Well, John, this is why we have you on. We greatly, greatly appreciate it, sir, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, you're welcome. Anytime, guys. Pleased to do it for you.
Yeah, we're looking forward to get you back on here real soon, and hopefully we'll have some more questions for you real soon here.
All right. See you, mate.
All right. Thanks, John.
Thanks, Sean. You know, Sean, there's just some people you just want to sit and have a drink with.
Yeah, John's one of those.
John's one of those people. Yeah, that's for sure.
He's a great guy, man.
What a great guy. And, you know, I wish we could tell some of the stories that he's told us, but I think we had to sign those NDAs. We're not.
Yeah, we're running a PG-13 podcast here. Yeah. So,
no, John's a good guy. We love having him on. He's a wealth of knowledge, and he's great for questions for the coaches.
Absolutely, and what a resource for the sport, honestly.
Yeah, absolutely. Sean, moving forward, you know, we got some big shoots coming up. The Ohio State shoot's coming up. We're really looking forward to that one.
Yep. We've also got the North Central Regional.
Yes.
Breathing down our necks.
That's
for August.
It's after the Ohio State shoot.
Correct. So but both in the month of August. We're going to be busy in August.
And then we have the Nationals in October.
Yeah.
I got the big Dead Pair Blast down at Vero Beach in December. That's going to be fun.
And
man.
Don't forget the Pilgrim shoot at night. We always wind up.
Oh, my goodness. How could you ever forget that shoot?
Yeah. That's a good way to end the year up. So
lots of big shoots coming up. Question is what are you going to be doing to stay out of Masterclass there, Mr. Alley?
I'm not. I'm just going to shoot to my ability. And I'm finally feeling good, man. That's the big thing. I you know, last year I had so many things going on with my wife and the house remodel and all that stuff. I don't think I was focused enough, you know what I mean? And just there's too many things rattling around in my brain when I was out there shooting. So it's been nice this last month or so, kind of feeling like my old self and, you know, seeing targets for what they are, not overthinking it or not overreading it or doing dumb stuff. So it's just nice to be able to relax. And then, you know, finally got a good handle on the new gun. So that goes a long way as well. And I'm really digging the sight picture now. I think I've got a lot of things lined up. So hopefully with any luck, I'll keep cruising along and doing well.
Well, you know, the house is looking good now.
Yep.
You know, wife's doing good now.
Yep.
Business is doing good.
Yep.
Got an awesome shotgun.
Yep.
Just got to work on you.
Well, that's a never any project. never any project.
I didn't mean that as a bad thing. Let me rephrase. Just got to work on your shooting now. That's what I meant. Mm-hmm. So, hey, it's my lie. I'll tell how I want. So
it's your story.
No, it's that time of season where we're really getting knee deep into tournaments.
Oh, and yeah, it's busy for everybody.
Right, and if you're not prepared by now, you're out there trying to prepare while you're shooting, and that's hard.
That is hard.
But we've got some stuff coming up that I think is going to help everybody this fall. In the meantime, Mr. Alley, you know, we read that letter at the beginning of this podcast. We talked about taking someone new shooting and take them to a tournament. Can't be said enough, can it?
No, well, we say it over and over again. That's why we started doing this in the first place.
Right.
I mean, seriously, that was the bottom line. It's like we kind of struggled getting into the sport. We were nervous. We were unsure of ourselves. We made a lot of mistakes. We spent a lot of money in the wrong direction. And boy, wouldn't it have been nice to have kind of a roadmap like we've kind of laid things out for people.
Yeah.
I mean, not saying that we're right or wrong. It's just a matter of, hey, we know this.
Personal experience.
We know this much. And then whatever we don't know, we get the people that do know on.
Right.
And share that with everybody.
Well, and the guy said, you know, he heard us hundreds of times.
Right.
Say that we would buy our sponsors' products even if we weren't sponsored by them.
Still true today.
Still true this day. Elite Shotguns.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, let's put it to you this way. They may sponsor us right now, but I think you're pretty much a customer for life at this point.
Absolutely. They are so good to deal with, period.
Right.
Period. They're just great, great people. And again, whether you want to buy an entry level a gun to get yourself into the sport or you want to buy your forever gun.
Yeah.
Great place to visit.
You know, Fiocchi, we just had another Fiocchi / BNP shooter on here tonight.
Right.
You know,
great ammo, great company.
Great ammunition. Bear Pelt. Dude, I love me some Bear Pelt.
They were with us from the very beginning.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We were the ones that pretty much launched them to the world. And you know, from there, it's just been a fireball of success.
I know. And, you know, that was very, very humbling when we were having discussions with them. And they're like, you guys are really seriously getting the word out. And it's like, really? You know, that you think back to 2021, we were still green as grass doing this back then. And by God, it did. It got the word out, and it helped them. And that's good, though. That's the way a sponsorship should work.
Absolutely.
You know? So,
two-way street.
Yeah. And that's another product that I'll wear for life.
Absolutely.
Regardless of sponsorship or not. Atlas Traps, I mean, it's an American-made trap. Yes, I'm a dealer. Before that, I was a salesman. And before that, you know what? I was a customer.
Yeah.
I was using that trap years ago, and I love it.
They're great machines.
You know, I still have that little 150 I bought. Never had a problem with it. And I throw thousands and thousands of targets a year. Just a testament.
I know you do.
You know, RE Ranger, that's another one.
Love me some React lenses. I love those things.
Again, that was another product that I had used previous to their sponsorship.
Mm-hmm.
I had the Prescription Edge, you know, years ago. And now that we have the Reacts, I mean, they're even better.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely.
OtoPro Technologies. Now, OtoPro was new to us. We didn't use them prior to them coming on board.
Nope.
But
boy, what a nice surprise that was, because
you ain't kidding.
I don't think I could shoot without them now.
Yeah.
Really.
100%.
I don't think I would. I like being able to hear people talk. I like being able to hear the traps clicking and stuff when they're throwing birds. I mean, compared to having big foam things jammed in my ear and not hearing anything, like you're underwater.
And your ear's actually hurting at the end of the round because the plugs didn't fit right or whatever.
Yeah, and then not to mention all the nice features like the Bluetooth. You can listen to music on them and, you know, they're comfortable
and form-fitted.
It just goes on and on.
And that's one of those things when people come up and ask me about them, I take my phone out and they're like, what are you doing? And I'm like, well, let me show you how they work. And they're like, with your phone? Yeah.
Yeah.
Bluetooth. And I can adjust the microphone. I can adjust the you know, it's got presets in it.
Yeah, you can make one ear louder, quieter than the other. Right. You know, you can basically completely custom tune that thing to make it as good as it possibly can be.
Absolutely. Rhino Chokes is another one that we use their product prior to being sponsored. Now, you didn't have your barrels perforated by them.
Not yet, but
until, well, I'm saying at the time that Rhino came on board with us.
Oh, no, no.
But you were already using their chokes.
Absolutely. But the big thing was, is after you had yours done, well, that was pretty much proof in the pudding.
No brainer. Yeah.
Wanted to go do it. And we did it at Nationals, made a little video about it. So it was really nice to showcase what they do and what their process is. And then showing the before and after.
Right.
You know, of the shot and how it affected my gun. But great guys to deal with. And, you know, they're super people.
And then, of course, White Flyer.
yeah.
I don't think we have... So we started shooting registered right at the beginning of 17.
Yep.
Okay, it's been 6 years ago.
Yep.
We had been busting targets since the 90s.
Yep.
And I don't think I've ever shot a tournament that wasn't White Flyer targets, and there's a reason for that.
Yeah, right? Pretty much. I think you're right on that. I mean, if we did, I wasn't aware of it, but pretty much everything you see around the courses is White Flyer.
Well, there's boxes. A reason for that. You know, they do a lot for this sport.
Yes.
And they've got an awesome product.
and we say it over and over again. They make a product that everybody likes to break, and they're happy about it.
Right. Of course, Dawn Grant.
Yep.
She has been a blessing. Now, Sean, you know that I was using her product right before she came on board with us.
Correct.
And you were seeing some changes in me.
Yes, right? Yes. So. And I've talked to some other people that I have as well, and it is definitely well worth your time to look into that and check it out, because there's definitely some good mental training and mental focus things that she does that is going to help your game if you're struggling with some of that stuff.
Absolutely. And last but not least, none of us can sign up for a tournament anymore. It seems like, I know there's still a few places that aren't using them, using her, but Score Chaser. Chase has just been phenomenal.
That whole thing is just one big enchilada of information and happiness, because you can go on there, check your scores, especially if you get the pro account, upgrade to that.
Yeah, I mean, you just started using that. What do you think about that?
Well, yeah, because we tested it out at the U.S. Open.
Last year.
And I really liked it because, like, we got a text. Remember when the thunderstorm rolled in?
Yes, it went and half
hard away. It said, everybody go inside, seek shelter. I mean, that in and of itself was just fantastic.
Especially when you're
quarter mile 5 miles away from the clubhouse, right. You know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I've been using it for the last couple months now, and every tournament I go to, I get text updates. Hey, you're on station this, your start time is this, blah, 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 blah. I mean, that is so freaking handy. And for $12 a month, come on, that's easy.
Now, have you started using where you can go in and fill it all out and it automatically registered you for certain tournaments?
The concierge service? I need to figure that out. I haven't got to that point
yet.
That's
handy, because right when U.S. Open came out, bam, I was already registered.
Yeah.
Now, I had to go in and change some of the times, you know, to exactly what I want so I could squad with guys like you or Chad or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it got me in there.
Yeah.
You know, same way with the Jack Links. It got me in there.
Yeah, the really popular tournaments, I think the struggle that all of us shooters, I mean, we all want to go shoot these big tournaments like the Jack Link and the regionals and stuff like that. The problem is, with the technology that's in place, it is so important that you get in line immediately, like within a day or two of that opening, because within that amount of time, the amount of people that want to shoot these shoots, all the good times are gone.
So as an example, if you remember correctly, Chad Roberts called us. Now, my concierge service wasn't set up for world championships. So Chad Roberts called us and said, hey, you better get in on the worlds at M&M if you're going to go. I'm like, really? He goes, yeah, there was like 500 people on there, you know, here an hour ago when I signed up. I'm like, oh, wow. And I opened it up right there, right then and there on my iPad in front of you, remember?
Yep.
And it was 850 right then and there.
Yeah, just
within a couple hours.
That many people.
It went from 500 to 850. And I think now it's full or almost full. So,
yeah.
You know, it's important. And, you know, I get it. It's a lot of money out front for registration, you know, for a shoot that's a year down the road.
Yeah, but if it means the difference of you going or not going.
Yeah, you better get signed up.
You better get signed up.
Right. Well, hey, listen, we have rambled long here tonight. What do we tell everybody every week? Sean, Ali, we've discussed it. Take someone new shooting.
That's right.
Take them to a tournament.
Yep.
And until next week, ought to go back and check out some Dead Prairie episodes that you've missed.
Yep. Anything that you haven't seen in the Wayback Machine, it's all on the internet, all on our podcast outlets. So if you haven't seen anything, just go out there and do it.
And?
Can't wait to see y'all back here on the Dead Prairie Podcast.
We'll see you next time on the Dead Prairie Podcast.
Dead Pair Podcast is brought to you by Elite Shotguns and Vero Beach Clay Shooting and is fueled by Fiocchi USA. The Dead Pair theme song was written, arranged, and produced by Toby Tomplay. Special thanks to the following sponsors: Bear Pelt, Rhino, Otto Pro, Dawn Grant, Atlas Trap Company, RE Ranger, and White Flyer Targets.